Good evening, lovelies. Welcome to another episode of Coffee, Candy, and Creatives, a Be Unique production. My creative tonight is Alana Blue. Alana is very active in the community and an activist for equal rights and a more inclusive environment. You can check out Alana's music on YouTube, Spotify, and they are on all social media platforms at Alana Blue Music. Tonight's episode is brought to you by the House on Foggy Bluff Ghost Walk. It is happening October 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 29th, 30th, and 31st. From 8 p.m. till midnight, tickets are $15 per person or $12 for ages 12 and under. You can get more information at www.greengables.org. They are still accepting volunteers, so if you ever wanted to be an actor or an actress in a horror setting, this might be your opportunity. I intend to go and attempt to have my yearly heart attack. As always, grab a cup of coffee or your favorite beverage, cuddle up with your host Puff, and enjoy the show. Good evening, lovelies. I am here with Alana Blue, a very talented musician based in New York. You can check at
Alana Blue Music is my Instagram. There's also links to all my music on there.
Awesome. And I've been listening, and your tone is so pretty. I'm like not an expert, but I know what I like. And what is it? I Was Never Yours is just so soulful and haunting. You know, it's just, it's such a beautiful song. I really recommend people go and check you out. Honestly,
I really appreciate that. It was my debut single, so I definitely wanted to haunt who it was about, you know, put all my heart and soul into it. So yeah, really appreciate it.
You doing a little Taylor Swift over there?
Yeah, actually, that's funny you said that, because she was actually my inspiration behind starting what I do. Songwriting and everything. Yeah. Wow.
Well, you're just across the board, right? You're very into the arts. I think it said modeling. Do you have other creative outlets? Like, do you do painting or sculpting? I know you dance, right? You're a dancer and a model as well.
Yeah, I do all types of things. So I definitely enjoy fashion as well. Mm-hmm. One day I want to do my own company. I already have a name for it. It's called Femdrogyny. So I do advocate for the LGBT community. So the idea behind femdrogyny is androgyny. So, you know, feminine and masculine aspects put into my personalized sense of style.
Awesome. Awesome. And it's so funny. I don't think that people, when they talk about the arts, I don't think they remember. The big part, it is definitely an art.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
This beautiful creative outlet, I would say art, interior design, things like that. Anywhere that you use colors, textures, and just, you know, your imagination. That's awesome. And I think I was reading something the other day. I think fashion is headed in a very, like you said, androgynous way. I think it's going to be very for everyone, if that, you know what I mean? It's like, or anything. I think fashion is really headed in that direction.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think this is a good thing for, you know, not just for the LGBT community, just, you know, for, you know, feminism and just everything. You know, you should be able to express yourself with fashion, regardless of gender or stereotypes.
Right. It's kind of also for any body type. You know, I think fashion needs to move forward. People are so quick to body shame. You're too fat, you're too skinny, your boobs are too small, your boobs are too big, your ass is too small, your ass is too big. And I think fashion is a place where it should be for everyone, like you said. And I feel like no matter your shape, your orientation, whatever it is, you want to wear it, wear it.
Yeah, everything's about inclusivity nowadays. What I thought when a model was when I was really young is not what I am today. So I really appreciate that a lot of agencies out there are more inclusive in many ways.
And it's amazing to see, honestly. But there's still, you know, there's still hateful people out there that can't adapt and can't accept, you know. And you're a real advocate for the community as well, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
you said like the models you saw when you were young, and you're not ancient by any means. So I'm trying to think, because you're 20-ish.
So right? I'm 22. If you think about it, what was it, like 5 years ago, the Victoria's Secret fashion show was discontinued.
Mm-hmm.
When I was like, you know, young enough to see that on the TV or allowed to be, that was what I used to watch and you know, think I would look like one day. And here I am now, like 5'5¾", like barely 5'6". And yeah, thinking that, like, you know, I have to be as tall and graceful as these ladies are. But I mean, like, obviously all shapes and sizes are beautiful, but like, that's not realistic for most, you know, women. So I really like the fact that I'm still able to do print modeling and just be an artist, figure out who I am and like have people supporting whatever that is. Cause you know, it's not just my hair that changes all the time. Like the way I present myself with fashion and, you know, always changing, and to have art, my art. Yeah.
You haven't achieved your final form yet.
Yeah, I'm honestly a chameleon at this point.
Well, that's probably great though, because I feel like if you stay the same all the time, not that you give up on life, but you kind of get stagnant.
Yeah.
Have a little bit of change. You know, I color my hair a lot as well. And my ex-husband's like, why do you color your hair? And I'm like, listen, there's not a lot that I can change in life, in the world, in my own personal life, but I can change my hair, you know?
Have so you done unhuman colors or just natural colors?
Oh no, just a bunch. Like I don't know if you can see me, but it's like magenta right now. It's growing out, but I'm like, honestly, I want to go to the hair salon and I want them to bleach it down and make it pure white. I don't know.
I just went from blue and purple to silver. So.
Oh yes, there you go.
Yeah.
In the video for I Was Never Yours is it's like this beautiful bluish aqua.
Yeah, it's like black with a blue money piece on the bangs in front.
Yeah. So pretty.
Oh, so you saw the video. So thank you for checking it out.
Oh, absolutely. Of course.
Yeah, background inclusivity there. I wanted the actors to be, you know, very visibly in the community. And, you know, all three of us, me and the two love interests, the past one and the current one of the video, all three of us are non-binary. So, and we all, you know, come in different shapes and sizes.
Absolutely. Just the three of you look very, I don't know the actor that was in the video with the curly hair.
Yeah, there was one blonde one. Her name was Kate. And then the other one is my friend Arzu. He had a shorter kind of cut, brunette.
Okay. So the one that comes into the club while you're already there.
Yeah.
A unique, gorgeous look. Just
yeah. So,
I was like blown away. I was like, who is this? Just gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous.
So yeah, she was great. When I casted her, she actually had long hair, right? Like long blonde hair down to her, you know, like chest. And around the time I ended up casting her, she was like, I don't know if you're going to like this, you know, because I just got hired for your role. But I'm thinking about cutting my hair, basically, you know, that boyish cut that she ended up doing, and I was all for it. I was like, do it.
See, just those little changes.
That's yeah.
So you're in studio recording now, right?
Yeah. So my next single is coming out October 22nd, but in the meantime, I am working on other EDM singles. After those singles are released, then my next music video, then I'm going to start really recording my album. It's already written, but like fully in studio, that'll be like once my single releases are settled down.
Now, had you been going out and performing live before the pandemic, or is this relatively new for you?
All of this is relatively new for me. When I used to perform in the past, it was mostly just, you know, like coffee shops or like little open mics at a dive bar, or like, you know, I would just like sing a cover with my friends in a karaoke thing. I've never you know, taken what I do like really seriously until I debuted this year, because I wasn't sure. Like, I knew it was like for fun. I always had a part of me that wanted to be a singer, but you know, society and like what your parents want for you kind of, you know, I held myself back. But after the pandemic, just like it did for a lot of people, it gave me the time to reflect on what I actually wanted for myself.
Right. Your age and what your parents want is for you to be in college, you to be getting, you know, a degree in something that's going to financially take care of you for the rest
of exactly.
You're yearning for that creative outlet that's going to take care of you.
Yeah.
And fulfill you for the rest of your life. So how do they feel about the music?
I would say like overall supportive, but they don't really understand it. Everyone in my family is in the medical field, and even when I was in college, I was in for I was actually there doing cheerleading at Hofstra in Long Island, and mm-hmm. I was majoring in basically like physical therapy, like sports therapy. So it would have been a completely different lifestyle if I ended up doing that.
Right? Could you imagine?
Yeah.
That's great. So you grew up in New York?
No, actually, I'm a Jersey girl. I'm just currently in New York now.
Okay. Yeah. So grew up in Jersey. You went to school for a little bit there. And you said in Long Island?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Long Island's a little extra, I think.
Yeah. I wanted to stay East Coast, and it just worked out for me because Hofstra's cheerleading team, they were really good. And, you know, besides music, I was also good at gymnastics and cheerleading. So it just, you know, it made sense for me if I wanted to stay on the East Coast.
Did you go on scholarship?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm.
Amazing. So you were talented.
Yeah. It's just, you know, on the weekends, I would run to Manhattan, and I eventually got signed to a modeling agency, and I got like a gig on MTV, which at the time I thought like this is gonna break my career. Now it's like one of those things I'm gonna laugh at, but yeah, I realized that, you know, I'd rather grind for the things that I enjoy than, you know, settle for. I was honestly, my mental health was declining when I was in college. I only lasted like two semesters, so
right, you had to make that choice to find your joy.
Exactly. Yeah.
Even terrifying.
And, you know, I can always go back to school if I want to. You know, people go back in any age, so it's fine.
Absolutely. Yeah. I fully believe that you're never too old to learn.
Mm-hmm.
To become a model, it's not like people think. I mean, sometimes maybe walks up to you on the street and says, "My God, you're gorgeous. You're hired." But you had to go in and go to different agencies and apply and.
That is not at all how it happened for me. I wish I got stopped on the street. The way mm-hmm. it happened for me was I always knew that I wanted to do music, right? But everything's kind of connected in the arts. So I knew that I needed to find management. I knew I needed to find representation. And, you know, I knew I could act too. And I knew that some people thought I was easy on the eyes. So I took advantage of that. I applied for some agencies. And then, yeah. Eventually did what I wanted. It got me connected with people who were involved in music, and yeah, here I am today. I feel like I have a pretty good team and community.
I mean, and it's so funny, you said you're 5'5¾", and you know, society thinks that models should be 6'3" and 100 pounds, but some of the most beautiful women out there are not, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just saw Ashley Graham, and she's pregnant with twins. And she was already, as they say, a fuller, you know, full size model.
She was considered plus size, which is insane because she's gorgeous. And like, not that plus size models aren't gorgeous, but you know, it's just crazy how quick people will write you off as plus size if you're not, I would say, the Victoria's Secret angel standard.
We're not shaming the angels either. We're just saying that's the perception that's been.
No, yes. Everyone is beautiful in their own way.
And it's so funny. I was talking to this director who wrote a rom-com, and Ellie and Abby, Ellie's dead aunt, and it's a romantic comedy with two females. And she and I were discussing that it shouldn't be a gay rom-com or a queer horror it shouldn't, you know, or it should just be a rom-com. So like with models, it should just be model. Why does that
yes. be? Let's normalize there not being a norm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm taking that one. Normalize. They're not being a norm. But you're right. It does. I don't understand why everything has to be labeled.
Yeah.
You know, strange is okay. Different is okay. It doesn't make any sense to me. But yeah, I think we're getting there. I think we're headed in the right direction.
I agree.
Along like we were talking about with fashion, where it's being a little more inclusive and accepting.
Mm-hmm.
So you are NB, you said, right? Not that it's applicable to the interview. I'm just asking.
Yeah, of course. You can ask questions about it.
Is that something you, I hate to say always knew, because I don't think anybody always knows anything, but you were aware of this, or did it come to realize you identified that way?
It kind of came as a domino effect after, so I didn't realize actually that I was a member at all of the community until I was like 18 and got kissed by a girl the first time sober. So then after that, it was just like, okay, maybe I'm bi. And then after that, I was like, okay, maybe I'm pan, because then I learned what pan meant. And then after I got the sexuality out of the way, identity, you know, I started learning about that. And then I was just like, oh, shit. And everything just, even from like being a kid, kind of just, you know, fit together. And, you know, I grew up with three sisters, right? Mm-hmm. But like growing up, I was that sister who was like more of the tomboy. And, you know, I kind of had the annoying little brother energy. And, you know, they would do girl things together. And I would kind of just be on the side, like making fun of them. So it was just like, that was like one thing that like made me feel like, oh, that makes sense. And then other things like, just like learning about anatomy for the first time and like, you know, elementary school, that made me feel like a little dysphoric. I don't know how to explain it. But yeah, it was just like something that I realized once I realized my sexuality first, and then identity was just, you know, right there, like, this is the next thing for you to think about. And then, you know, you don't have to put a label on it at all, but it definitely cleared up some things that I would feel bad about, that like I couldn't feel completely included in that, you know, narrative that, you know, some women have.
Right.
Yeah.
And what's strange to me also is within the community, there are still people who don't fit in. So it's like, in an attempt to get away from specific labelings or, you know, maybe cis thought processes, there's still people that don't fit in. So, I mean, I don't know, just a few years ago, there was just LBGQ or LGBT. I'm sorry.
Yeah, LGBT. Mm-hmm.
And then the plus. And the plus is basically for everyone who isn't sure, right? Or they're kind of like, well, I'm kind of like that, but not, but I'm a little bit like that as well. So I'm just going to stay right here in the plus area until I get stuff out, which I think is fantastic. I think it's so like reassuring and so helpful, because so many people are, you know, questioning or they're just like, I'm not quite sure where I'm at, but I feel safe and I feel welcome and accepted here. Yeah. So hang out until I figure
I think
it out.
When you look at it that way, that's the best way to go about it. Cause you know, I understand like why some people get intimidated and, you know, they're just like, why do you have to put a label on it? We never said you have to, but these things are there for you to make sense of it. If you do, you know, want to make sense of it.
Right. It's not. Yeah. And it's not labeling, like putting a name tag on a person saying you belong in this room. It's more like it's putting a sign above the room that if you feel like this is where you're supposed to be, you can go here or you can go here. So it's more, it's so amazing how many, and I know we still have shitty people, but there's many good, you know, there's so much good progress. We're making such strides in being more accepting and more inclusive. And I think we're just headed for a not pigeonholed world, which is, I think is going to be great. Like we were talking about, you don't have to just, you know, say plus model. You don't have to say male model, you don't have to say female model, you don't have to say this is a gay comedy, this is, you know, if we can get to where we just enjoy things and everything's kind of a little more muddled, I guess, where there's not black and white, it's a nice little lovely shade of gray.
I already feel that way. I have a funny story. I went to GovBall the other day, right? And I was just like waiting in line for something. And, you know, just seeing all the kids, all the Gen Zs just walking in their outfits, right? And I'm seeing some people in like, you know, 90s inspired things, and like some people in like early 2000s. And then there's people who are like in the newest trends with like the Nike. And then it was just like, wow, like there's not one, like, you know, if you think about like fashion in certain decades, you'll think like, oh, there's definitely like a mullet in the 80s or like, you know, this in the 90s. And but I was looking at our generation thinking like, wow, everyone's kind of just doing whatever they want. That's awesome.
Great. Yes. I mean, there are certain like fashion trends, just personally, I don't think they come back, but it is funny. Well, there's two parts of it. What's funny also is seeing the younger generation rocking something from like the early 2000s or the late 1990s, like it's new. And we're like, oh, honey, we've been there, we've done that. But it looks, but you're right. I mean, it does seem like there's anything goes. I was going to say little girl because I'm an old person. Everybody looks young to me. But I want to say she was maybe like 13, 14. She had that gangliness of a teenager, like just getting it, either just getting puberty or getting into it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like eighth grade or like freshman year. Yeah.
Yeah, where she mm-hmm. awkward, but she kind of was getting her confidence kind of thing. But she was rocking this adorable, if you imagine like the little Alice in Wonderland dress, but like a bright pink, like a bright pale pink. And little mama had on some knee-high patent leather lace-up chunky heel, chunky toe boot. And I said out loud, but standing there by myself waiting to check out loud, I said, all right. And I was like happy for no apparent good reason. I was just like, you know, she's not my daughter, but I was proud as hell. I was like, you all right,
work so, it sis.
I was just like, and I see that a lot with the younger generation now. I have boys, so what I see is t-shirts and shorts or jeans. But I think for the kids, and maybe, you know, maybe it's the location, maybe in the bigger cities, maybe in the, you know, the New Yorks or the LAs or the Atlantas or, you know, the Dallas.
Yeah.
Just fashion has just exploded, and it's all over the place. It's just a jumble, but it's a beautiful jumble. It's
I agree wholeheartedly. I agree.
Oh, and that's another thing I wanted to say is we are very much about the proper pronouns. We're about no pronouns if there's no pronouns, you know. We're about being proper, and people are getting offended. You know, straight people are, you know, they're like, well,
how straight cis people who are just
they're like, how come we don't? And I'm like, no, it's fine. if you're a straight cis male and you want to say I'm a straight guy, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. That's your identity. And I think that's what people are, hateful people or scared people, they're like, they feel like they're losing their identity by recognizing other people's identities.
Yeah, which is like fucking ironic, because it's like the whole point of us speaking up is because you never let us before. So let us have our shot now.
Right. And
grandma.
Yeah. But yeah, no, we're not gonna attack the different generations. We're not gonna do that. But it's just so funny to me. It's like, there are so many people that can't understand that just because you give something, you don't lose something. Just because something is not being taken away from you. It's
a
great thing
just
about
let people express. Just let people like, that's just all it is.
It doesn't hurt giving. That's a great thing about giving. You can give and give and give and give and give, except for maybe blood, but you can give and you really never run out. You can give understanding. You can give love. You can give acceptance. You can give people the right to say, I'm asexual, I'm pansexual, you know, I'm whatever, I'm hetero, I'm homosexual, I'm NB, I'm, you know, you're not going to lose anything by giving that, you know?
Yeah. Amen.
We got deep all of a sudden. We're going to get back to the music.
I love that though.
Yeah, I know. There's some things I just don't get. It's like, it doesn't, what does it hurt you? It doesn't hurt you to let other people live.
It's funny that you said let's get back to music, but these are all things that I had to figure out, or I need to, you know, be set with in order to do music, because it's like, you know, anyone could sing, but like, if you don't know who you're singing to, if you don't know like what you have to say and you don't know how to address it, then like, you know, it doesn't really matter at that point. So all that stuff is very important in the music industry.
Exactly. Any singer can get out there and sing about love or heartbreak, but if you've not really gone through something, it's not helpful, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
And I love that your song is about, I'm assuming, a bad breakup. Because that makes it more, it gives it more of an impact. It makes it more powerful. And you're going to reach more people, because anybody who's ever gone through that shit's going to be like, oh yeah. They're going to pause it. They're going to back it up. They're going to sing that part again. Louder when it comes on.
Yeah, I did that on purpose for my debut single. I just I wanted to keep it as general as possible. My next song, it, you know, there's, you know, female pronouns and a little more specific on some lyrical content, but Never Yours was kind of just like general, like, you know, a teenager could relate to it. An old person looking back at their first love, the one that got away, and think about it and relate to it. And
any sexuality can relate to it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Did you find it a little nerve-wracking when you're using the feminine pronouns in the next song? Were you like, I don't know, this is gonna be...
No, actually, I think I've always been very vocal about, you know, advocating for the community. I think if anything, this is more like a little treat for for them.
I ask that only because I've you know, been alive long enough to see before, say, like I mean, Elton John was obviously, but his songs were not blatantly, you know, not at that time period, they were not blatantly about another man. They were, as you said, either way.
Yeah, just so they're relatable.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is just my second single. I have many to come. I have many that are going to be bigger. And then, but, you know, the way I see it is like, you know, I'm starting out right now. I did the thing where I'm general and relatable. Now I want to do the thing where I'm like, okay, I'm singing about a girl. That's what I'm going to do. If you like that kind of thing, then you can stay. If you don't, then like, I don't want you here anyway, like, if you don't respect that. So it's like, I don't think having, you know, one or two songs or like even like majority of my songs using female pronouns is going to hurt me. If anything, it's going to help me, because I would rather find my community and have them be killers for me than, you know, try to make people comfortable that, you know, don't want to open their mind, you know. So it's just like, I have all the time in the world, and I have plenty of other songs to keep it as generic and relatable as possible. But, you know, part of being an artist is being able to tell your version of your story. So
absolutely. And in any way, shape, or form was I trying to say that you should, you know, mold yourself. It's just funny to see how music itself has progressed as well as everything else has. Because you see the little TikTok videos where it's like, this song hits different now when you realize what the, you know, what the lyrics are about.
Yes.
And up until, God, I want to say like the early to mid 90s, you know, Melissa Etheridge came out, Katie Lang, oh my God, Tattoo. And then people.
Yes.
Yes. So then it seemed like. Yes, that's when people were like, I'm singing about a dude. Okay, are you going to change your channel? Okay, cool. Somebody else is going to listen to it. But before that, you really had to, it was secretive.
Yeah. They could,
you know, Elton John couldn't get up there and play the piano and be like singing to his boyfriend. He couldn't.
Do you remember when like Joan Jett did that Crimson and Clover cover, and you know, she was just, you know, using the same pronouns the song originally was with, and people were bugging out, like it's crazy how things changed.
I mean, I can see changing, for instance, I'm not a singer, but every time, speaking of Elton John,
Every time Rocket Man comes on, I change it to Rocket Girl just because I'm weird and I want to make it about me. But if you're, like you said, if you're singing somebody else's song and you want to, you know, pay true respect to the original singer and you sing it the same way, and then they're like, oh my God, Joan Jett is, she's gay, she's a lesbian, oh my God. Well, you know, actually, a little bit, no. Yeah. So it's like, and who cares? Who cares? Yes. You could sing a beautiful love song and be thinking about your best friend, your golden retriever that, you know, is at home while you're in the studio. Not in a sexual way, you perverts, but just, you know, you can sing the words and it can go just any way. It's awesome.
Yes, exactly.
And that has been a progression, I would say, over the past, I was going to say 20 years. I'd say 20, that it's really started to get rolling to where people were getting okay with, like, because when Melissa Etheridge came out, you know, it was, yeah. God, what? It was just scandalous. But now
when
it's
did
like,
she do that?
Oh God, I want to say it was in early 90s. Ever in hiding. But when I think she was in an interview, she was asked about the song and they were like, oh, it's about a girl, you know? And they're like, because, you know, everybody was singing that Come to My Window song.
Yeah.
So, but it's, yeah, it is. It's so funny now because, like, if a gay couple gets married, whether it's men or women, or back in the day, that would have been, you know, it would have been on Entertainment Tonight. It would have been on the, you know, the entertainment news channels. And now people are getting together, breaking up, getting married, divorcing all the time. And unless they're relevant and famous, we don't know. And honestly, that's how it should be.
Exactly. I agree.
So when is your new single dropping?
October 22nd.
Oh my God, that'll be here before we know it.
Yeah.
Awesome. You're going to get back in studio after this drops. You're hoping to have the whole new album out in the next couple months, right?
Oh, my whole album? Oh no. So after this single, I will be doing another music video. And then after that, we'll be doing this EDM collaboration that I did with this. He goes to Columbia, but he also does music. His name is Jonathan Block, or AKA Ellie Trax. So we did a EDM song. So that's another thing I want to do in my career. I want to have, you know, all the Lana Blue material, but I also want to collaborate in the EDM world.
I know a really great performer who's actually gender fluid. I'm going to have to look, but I think that they are up there in New York as well. I'll have to check. Excuse me.
Interesting. Yeah. Even if they're not, I love connecting online all the time. So.
Well, they're awesome. They call themselves Brady Bunch, but it's B-R-A-Y-D Bunch. And they have two different personas. There's Shady Brady, which is like this really guttural, like rough rap. And then Lady Brady, which is just this ethereal EDM, beautiful. Oh, I'm like, wow.
What a dynamic.
I know. Asked them, I was like, how? You know? And but it's been so much fun talking to you.
You too.
And I hope that we stay in touch so I can keep letting people know when you're dropping singles and videos and stuff. Okay.
Definitely. I would love to hear what you think about the next one.
Absolutely.
I definitely will.
And you can be found at Lana Blue Music on basically everything, Twitter, Instagram.
Yeah. TikTok, everything. YouTube too. Yeah.
YouTube as well. Yes.
Yeah.
I was frustrated. I was trying to search YouTube and it kept giving me Lana Del Rey.
Yeah, so that's something that after this year I hope stops happening. When you know she has that one famous song, Blue Jeans.
Yes. I was like, son of a bitch, I don't want
you. Once I get more, well, actually, if you go on like Spotify and you type in like Lana, I'm like the second Lana that comes up after her. So progress.
Be like, yeah, I'm second after Lana Del Rey. Amazing. But it has been amazing, and I want to keep in touch with you and keep promoting, okay?
Anytime, yes, anytime. Let me know.
All right, I'll talk to you a little bit later on. Have a good night.
Thank you for the opportunity, and take care.
Oh, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Lana. For all things Lana Blue, every single social media at Lana Blue Music. You can also check out the music on YouTube and Spotify. For more information about the House on Foggy Bluff Ghost Walk, head on over to www.greengables.org. Again, that's October 22nd through 31st from 8 p.m. till midnight. Guaranteed to be a spooky time. Head on over to my beautiful partners at beunique.org. Like, follow, and support the amazing humans involved. As for me, I am Pup Duffy on all social media. You can also email with comments, requests, and feedback at pupforccc@gmail.com. You can also like and follow the show on Facebook. It's Coffee, Candy, and Creatives. As always, look out for each other, take care of each other, love each other, and have a great night.